quiet of my soul. In the stillness, I hear your voice call.
Very close to the end of 1 Timothy. Woo-hoo. It's only been since May. This month, Scripture has taught us how to be happy. Have you been happier? Scripture has taught us in chapter 6 how to be holy. Have you been holier? And wait till next Sunday when Scripture tells us how to be healthy. Yeah, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Scripture, like, God doesn't have a sense of humor when I planned all this out. He's going to teach us how to be healthy, but that's next week. It's not a bad way to end 1 Timothy. This is the week of Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah. Will you be thankful? I want to share with you an old Thanksgiving blessing that I discovered. I think it's an old Gregorian chant that they would chant at Thanksgiving time. Are you ready? You can write this down and use it Thursday. May your dressing be tasty. May your turkey be plump. May your potatoes and gravy have never a lump. May your yams be delicious and your pies take the prize. And may Thanksgiving dinner stay off your thighs. There you go. It's an old Gregorian chant. I'm sure you can use it next Thursday. Like I said, we'll worry about being healthy next Sunday. Today, Scripture is going to teach us how to be hopeful. Something that we seem to lose so quickly when everything goes south. How to be hopeful. Our hope seems like it gets swallowed up. We're depressed. The weather has changed. We go to work when it's dark. We come home. Well, you guys go to work when it's dark. You come home when it's dark. Blah. We've had doctor's visits and exams and blah. And we are desperately hoping that Thanksgiving is like a Hallmark movie. Have you watched those at all? Did you know there's an app that you can put on your smartphone and you can check off all the Hallmark holiday movies? And I have been, boy. I've been like, yep, saw that one. Yep, saw that one. Our favorite one we decided to finally buy. Yeah, Silas, he's right. It's called The Merry Mix-Up. You've got to see this movie. If you have not seen it, come on over. All right? But remember, the Steelers game is on at 1. So come on over. We will watch that movie. We are Hallmark movie fanatics. One of our family members talks through the entire movie, making fun of the entire movie the entire way. And the other two, it is Pookie, the other two, if there's a dog on there, the other two members of the family always are like, shut up! So I will let you guess which one makes comments throughout the entire. We hope desperately, oh, it's Thanksgiving, it's a time for family, and it's time to sit around the table, and what are we thankful for? And we forget we hate our family, right? Or they hate us, and it just becomes this stressful, blah. And it's awful. We get our hopes up, and it's just not what we expected it to be. And life does that sometimes. So what do we do when everything goes wrong? Paul's going to tell us. But he takes a twist on it. What do we do with hope when everything goes right? We have more than we could ever imagine. What is our responsibility when we as Christians believers have everything? Interesting question. Open up your Bibles. We are so close. Open up your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, or tap that app. We're going to begin in verse 17. One of the things that we as believers specifically must not do with the hope that we are given in Christ is be a dope. That's biblical. Verse 17, command those. Every time I see that, I think, oh, that's always fun as a pastor. I command you to do this. Yeah, that's going to work out great. Thanks, Paul. Command those who are rich in this present world. Did you check out yet? Hang on. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. But put their hope in God, who richly, play on words, provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, in my Bible, the very first word in verse 17 is command. Is this optional for us as a group of believers? What he's about to say is not optional. It's a command for those who are rich in this present world, and you know what your bank account says. I do not, because my wife won't let me near it. Is that a good idea? Yes, it is. Belinda, I heard you laugh. So, because she knows. We've done enough things together, right? So, you automatically checked out and go, that ain't me. I'm not rich in this present world. My daughter's about to get her eyes open when she goes halfway around the world. Now, I had my eyes open because I grew up in a third world country, you know, around Steubenville, Ohio. And then my kids were born in Kentucky, which is a, you know, fifth world experience. I don't know, just poor. I had no clue that I was poor until I went to college and I got in a big city and realized, whoa, we grew up poor. But as poor as we had it, we still had it better than probably 90% of the world. And we tend to look at this with American eyes and go, I'm not rich. I'm not the one percenters. I don't make a lot of money, but rich in this present world, yes, we are. So this applies to us. By the world's economic standards, we are incredibly rich. So he tells those of us who have stuff, don't be a dope. He says, don't be arrogant. Don't be arrogant. It's me saying that every November I get to pay for 5 license plate tags because I own 5 cars that are incredibly old and rusty. One won't start right now, right? But I could walk around and go, I own 5 cars. Huh. Right? We tend to think that we have earned it. And this verse says, no, God gave it to you. And we are to be stewards of it. And we become very arrogant. And when we become arrogant with all the stuff we have, look at the verse. It says, we tend to put our hope where? In our wealth. In our bank account. Or when you get to be old, like the pastor's wife, and she has to be responsible for her parents' accounts and has to pay attention to all the stuff that has been invested, and she says to me one day, wow, mom and dad lost $10,000. Right? We put our hope in wealth. And then what happens? California is on fire. Can I tell you that I was not very compassionate this week when I heard that Miley Cyrus lost her home? And I went, I got to be honest with you, I was not very compassionate. I should be compassionate that somebody lost their home. What I'm compassionate about is reading an article yesterday where there's 1,000 people that are still missing in California. They don't know whether they're alive. They don't know whether they're dead. They don't know whether they're lost. And I, being the hiker that I am, I know where the big, long hiking trails go through there. And I'm trying to picture in my mind what happens if I wake up in the middle of the worst forest fire ever. Over 1,000 people are missing. Thousands of people have lost their homes. Where have they placed their wealth? Where have we placed our wealth? Why is it when the stock market crashes, people jump out of tall buildings? Or what we tend to do is we bounce from job to job to job to job, from relationship to relationship to relationship, from church to church to church to church, because we're putting our hope in those things, and all of those things are fallible and will fail us. I've told you for almost 2 decades now, do not put your faith in me. I will fail you. I'm fallible. You put your faith in God. That can never be shaken, right? So what do we put our hope in again? The verse tells us. We put our hope in God. He has given us all this stuff, and we're about to see what we're supposed to do with it. But the first thing that I want you to notice about verse 17 is something that I used to scream about in my social work days for people that had a whole lot more than I did. Because I literally used to say, it's sinful for Christians to have big houses. Yeah, liberal social worker. It's sinful for them to go on cruises or to what, you know, buy cars and all that other stuff. What does the end of verse 17 tell us that God has given us all this stuff for? For what? Our enjoyment. So good golly, enjoy what you got. Take advantage of it. Don't feel guilty about it. Don't feel guilty about it. I literally used to feel guilty taking vacations, being gone on Sundays, and then I realized, you don't want me here anyway, so I can go away and everybody will be happy. So we're going to see the grandkids this week, and there's part of me that still feels guilty that we're going away. One of those five rusty cars, come on, baby, make it, right? But I'm going to have a blast, and I'm going to enjoy it because God has given us stuff to simply enjoy. Is it okay for us to buy things, dear, and go away on trips? Yes, it is. Except, verse 18. Let's keep it all in perspective. Because he just told us not to be arrogant with all those things. He has also given us good things so that we can do good deeds. Verse 18. Command them. Oh, come on, Paul. Command them to do good. To be rich in good deeds. Interesting. And to be generous. Arrogant people are not generous. And willing to share. Oh man. Look at what he commands us to do in this one verse. Do good. Be rich in good deeds. Generous. And willing to share. All that stuff that God has given us. Are you generous with it? Of all you dopes that have walked into my house without knocking on the door. Because I've told you to do that, and suddenly you're in my living room. What do we always tell you? You thirsty? You hungry? Have a seat? What do you want? Right? Make yourself at home. Because God has given us stuff that we want to generously share. Now, let me tell you this. If you want to borrow my Jeep, don't you dare use this verse against me. Don't you dare pull it out of your back pocket and go, hey, remember verse 18? You got to let me borrow your Jeep. I'm not going to be stupid with the stuff that God has given me, but I am going to be a steward. It does not mean that we can just assume we can take whatever we want from whomever we want here at church, because I'm going to go, yeah, I don't trust you, right? It's okay to do that. It's okay to say no, but what if I help? Or there's always ways about it. But guys, just because we have stuff does not mean that we should not be rich and good using the things that we have. And we're very good about that as a church. But I think sometimes we take it for granted that we do it. We are specifically trying to do good deeds for others with the things that God has given us so that he can be glorified and we can love our neighbor. And I love that, right? So here we go, verse 19. Let's wrap it up. Let's dig deep. Let's absolutely dig deep. In this way, those who are rich in this present world and they have stuff and they share it and they're generous with it will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation. You got to dig deep for a foundation. For the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. I have seen people use this verse to encourage you to invest your money for the future. I don't think that's what this verse means. I hope it's not what it means, right? I don't think it is. But I will tell you that this verse, in light of everything that we've talked about, all this stuff that God has given us to enjoy and to share, I look at this final verse, this world ain't all there is to live in. And sometimes we get wrapped up in the Joneses thing. Well, the Joneses have this, I got to have this. And we got to have a bigger house, and we got to have more cars, and we got to have this, and we got to, and all these things that we begin to list that will make us happy. That we can put our hope in, right? And you can build onto your house, and then that roof leaks, and then there's water pouring into your bedroom. That doesn't make me happy, right? But we put our hope in all these things. And in a minute, wildfire, gone. In a minute, fired, gone. In a minute, a spouse says, get out. In a minute, right? And we just list all these things that will make us happy, all these things that we can put our hope in. And Paul says, Timothy, command your people to do good deeds, because in a minute, it could all be gone. You think you'll be bummed out and have no hope, but all this stuff we're doing is just building a firm foundation for the day that's coming, that he's coming back and taking us out of here. Right? And we're going to live in such a way that we live a legacy as a church and as a people that do good deeds and share generously the stuff that we have, because we have hope in God. Right? I love these verses. This world ain't all that's worth living for. You're living that way, right? I'm living that way, right? Everything I do, everything I say, everything I buy, everything I share, I'm living like this ain't the only world that we got, right? It's okay to enjoy it. But am I living in such a way that this ain't the only world that we're living for? Are you taking what God has given you, and are you enjoying it and sharing it in such a way that you're doing good deeds for others? Isn't that what we do with Live Nativity? Right? Are you living your life in such a way that you're doing good deeds that brings him glory and shows someone else how much you love them? Let's do that as a people. Let's do that as a church. Let's do that as individuals in such a way that people will be overwhelmed with what you do. And guys, it's really, really simple. It's like at 2:30 in the morning, because you're old and you get up and go to the bathroom and you see that your buddy in the state of Washington is online asking for Kindle book recommendations, and you know that he doesn't have a lot of money, and you know that your wife is still asleep, so you send him a $25 gift card, because she'll find out about it eventually, but not at 2:30 in the morning, because, right? And just do those kinds of things. It's not hard. It's really, really simple. Do those kinds of things. If you are someone this morning that is desperately wishing that someone would do that for me, it's okay to ask. So I want to invite you to come up here in a moment and just stand here, kneel here. If you've got a need that maybe we can meet, you're afraid to ask, you don't think it's your place, or maybe you're someone that goes, I got a lot of stuff and I have been arrogant about it and I need to repent of that, that's okay too. Whatever your needs are, you come up, we'll gather around you, we'll pray with you, we'll share what we can to help out. Let's stand together and sing our closing song this morning, which is perfect for this passage. You come on up this morning, please. I am lost for words.
Your love and your grace never fail me. Your merciful touch always heals me. You bring joy to my soul. I long to worship You, my King. I long to bring You a pleasing offering. I am overwhelmed. Merciful touch always heals me. You bring joy to my soul.
So God, it is my guess that there are people here this morning that are absolutely overwhelmed. We want to be the people You have called us to be, but life is just overwhelming. God, I pray for them this morning, those who have shared, those who have not, that just are overwhelmed. May they leave this morning overwhelmed by Your love and Your grace. May they find it through us this morning, God. Thank You for all that You have given us and for all that we can do with it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.